Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, thanks.
Good evening. I would like to welcome you all to the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, October 21st, 2014.
Here.
Okay. Would you all please join Commissioner Keene in the flag salute? That brings us to agenda review. That brings us to our community comment and suggestions period. The public comment period is an invitation for members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. I will remind you that you are to make your comments related to items that are within the purview of the Planning Commission. For those of you who may not be aware of what exactly we do, our task is with the growth and development of the city, land use, development issues. That is what is within our jurisdiction, and that's what we should hear about tonight. Along those lines, you are limited to 3 minutes. We have a timer here that is 3. So the first speaker is Martin.
Good evening. First off, thank you for your service to the city. I know that being a planning commissioner is a lot of time and effort. It's because the planning commission traditionally in our city has ended up being a training ground for being a city councilman. Most of our city council people were on the planning commission at one time in their careers. And your hard work teaches you a lot about really tough decisions. So I wanted to share with you a couple of development things.
This is related to land development and
to planning use. Department issues.
Okay.
In the Calcos News today, they said that there was an article through when it has to do with planning. Other business owners contend Ferrara works with the city manager, city attorney, and community development director in a convoluted, dysfunctional fashion that has cost those owners millions of dollars. Most said their biggest problem has been receiving specific directions from staff, complying with those directions, and then having city officials or their staffers change the direction, delaying the project, adding to costs for the developer. Many say they will not work in the city of Aurora Grande as long as Adams and Ferrara are in charge. About 10 years ago, former Community Development Director Rob Strong promoted Aurora on a property that included a large parcel of land and two older homes, the Stillwell and Vanderveer home, known as the Cherry Creek property. Strong did not have the money to purchase the property, according to a disclosure that he made. Strong then contacted San Luis Obispo businessman Cliff Branch and recommended Branch develop the Cherry Creek property with a neighboring property owner. Branch told Calcos News in an email the development required Branch to carry on a dialogue with Ferrara, Adams, and City Attorney Tim Carmel. He wrote, several years ago, over the course of a year, we communicated extensively about the project. Branch said in an email, as the and or intimidated. During the period, Ferrara sought a meeting, Branch wrote. At one point, Mayor Ferrara asked to meet privately with the two of us, sat alone in the council chamber, Branch wrote. The mayor proceeded to give me a stern lecture on how to conduct myself during his council meetings and strongly implied that it would be inadvisable to ignore his advice. Strong, Rob Strong, later asked Branch to provide him with a purchase agreement for a lot with one of the existing homes on the Cherry Creek property as a favorable rate. He told Branch that he supervised the Aurora Grande staff.
I'm sorry, but your 3 minutes is up. Beatrice, I'm sorry, is there Beatrice who would like to speak?
Okay, since Colleen wasn't able to finish in her time, we'll go on about the planning. He told Branch that he supervised the Arroyo Grande staffer who would be the city planner on the project. City planners can either expedite permits and other requirements or delay and possibly destroy projects. It had always been a questionable situation because the city planning director had negotiated an option to purchase an existing house in the development. That he had made all proper disclosures to city officials. Ferrara had later said that it was not an issue because a disclosure form was filed and approved by the city attorney, Cliff told Calcos News. About 7 years ago, while the project was still in the approval process, Strong left the city and developers began working with Adams and Teresa McClish, the city's new planning director. It was my impression that Adams simply took orders from Ferrara, so a bad situation became even more dysfunctional, Branch wrote. It was also my experience that the city attorney, Tim Carmel, conducted the city's legal affairs with remained at the table, stunned by the city attorney's behavior. In the end, San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Karen Ray, a former Arroyo Grande City official who was involved in the project approvals, purchased the home that Strong had optioned. By that time, the home had undergone extensive remodeling. Then on March 4th, 14 days before the closing of Ray's home, the Arroyo Grande Planning Commission, which includes Ray's live-in boyfriend, Randy Rusum, noted an administrative decision in the meeting minutes to designate the recently purchased home as historical. Because of the Mills Act, this decision will lower Ray's property taxes by as much as 90%.
Okay. I have another speaker slip here for, looks like Patty Welsh. Patty, you're done? Okay. Okay. Those are all the speaker slips that I have here. Are there any other ones that have been turned in?
Change in plan. The council and its members shall deal with the administrative services of the city only through the city manager, except for the purposes of inquiry, and neither the council nor any member thereof shall give orders and instructions only from the council as a body, and no individual member of the council shall give any order or instruction to the city manager. Any subordinate officer or employee receiving orders or instructions contrary to the provisions of this section shall report the same in writing immediately thereafter to the city manager. and the city manager shall promptly forward a copy or summary of such report to each member of the council. He or she shall likewise promptly advise each member of the council of any order or instruction received by him or her. Privileges of a member of the council to request the city manager, but not only any other officers or employees under his or her supervision, to prepare a report dealing with any matter of city business or municipal affairs generally. If such report can be compiled without the undue dislocation of city activities and without the expenditure of considerable quantities of time by city personnel. Thank you.
Okay. We have no other, seeing that we have no other speakers. Since the agenda was prepared. Okay. So that brings us to the consent agenda, where we have the approval of the minutes. It looks like we have 3 minutes before us. I think that the we don't have a quorum for the June 17th one with Commissioner Ressam being absent, so I think we'll have to postpone that to a future agenda. Okay, so we'll look at the July 1st. Anyone have any comments on that? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Planning Commission estimate.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Goss?
Yes.
Mr. Keene?
Yes.
Mr. George?
I'll abstain.
And Vice Chair Spiro?
Yes. Okay, so then we'll move on to the minutes for September 2nd, 2014. Does anyone have any comments or changes they'd like made from those? The minutes of the Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014 Planning Commission meeting as submitted.
I second that.
Roll call, please. Yes.
Mr. George?
Yes.
Mr. King?
Abstain.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Okay, so that brings us to item 8, public hearing matters. We have none scheduled for this evening. So we go to item 9, non-public hearing items. 9A is consideration of Coastal Community Builders. Could we have the staff report, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. Vice Chair Spiro. A certificate of compliance is requested at 1051 Wasna Road, which currently consists of two assessor's parcel numbers. The site recently had a tentative map approved in December 2013, which will allow 12 single-family homes to be developed on it. The certificate is a financial requirement for the developers of the project. So this area subdivision, which is the area between Stagecoach Road and Wasna Road, which is this area here, which is Stagecoach and Wasna. And the subject parcels, this first one here, was created through a deed conveyance, which with the first, which was recorded in 1950, and the second parcel here was again created through deed conveyance and was recorded in 1963. That method of land division was legal prior to 1959. The second lot is legally recognized by the operation of the law for remainder parcels. So with that said, it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving Certificate of Compliance 14002.
Thank you. Tom, do you have any questions?
Just briefly. The two parcels, parcel A and parcel B, so you're saying that basically they were a single parcel at one time and then subdivided into parcel A and parcel B, and now we're trying to put them back together?
Actually, no. They were all... The boundaries of lot 14. So you see, so like this parcel, this parcel, this parcel, this parcel, over time were conveyed through the deed mechanism.
Okay, so
they were always two.
In terms of it being a remainder parcel, it's mm-hmm. a remainder parcel of what?
Of lot 14.
Okay.
So as each one was carved out, there was a piece of 14 left, kind of left over
okay.
as a remainder.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, I don't have any questions.
I don't have any either. So at this time, I'd like to invite the applicant.
It's Coastal Community Builders this evening, and this is really a little bit of housekeeping for us. We just need to, the lender wants to make sure that these are legal parcels. We believe that they are because of the deed conveyance history. And so we're asking you to grant us some certificates of compliance, and we're actually proceeding ahead with the subdivision map at this time. So it's just a little technicality to keep the lender happy. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Do you have any questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to be heard on this matter? Okay. Seeing no one, we will bring it back then to...
I really, after looking through on the conditions and such, I see no problem with it, so I'm ready to move forward.
Okay, John?
I'm ready to move forward.
Okay, I too am ready to move forward. It just looks like a housekeeping matter that should be taken care of.
I move we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Roy Grande approving a certificate of compliance for number 14002, location 1051 Wasner Road, applicant. Coastal Community Builders.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Payne?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to item 9B, consideration of lot line adjustment number 14-001, location 318 Short Street, applicant Bob Christensen. Representative Greenland Surveys. We have the staff report, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sparrow, members of the Commission. As you mentioned, this is lot line adjustment 14-001 for the adjustment of lot lines between four separate parcels, resulting in two legal parcels. As you mentioned, the project does front Short Street. It also, the extent of it, you might know the ownership of Arroyo Grande Chevrolet recently changed hands. However, all the property is still owned by Mr. Christensen. He is here for a lot line adjustment simply to reconfigure the lot lines and create one residential lot and one commercial lot for the car dealership. Here's a couple of tables that are also found in your staff report. It shows a breakdown of all the existing four parcels. These are parcels that were created, again, by deed back in the early to mid. ...8,700 square feet, and it's zoned multifamily, and it essentially acts as just an access drive to the parcel two, which is the larger of the two parcels. The resulting parcels would be parcel one, adjacent to Traffic Way, would be 22,000 square feet, lot width of 131 feet, lot depth of 148 feet, and would be zoned traffic mixed use. And then parcel two would be 24,000 square feet, lot width of 132 feet, and then lot depth of 300. Dual zoned village mixed use as well as multifamily. The multifamily again just being the stem of that lot. So staff wouldn't foresee any development on there other than what's existing. So here's how the resulting properties would be laid out. Again, parcel one being the commercial parcel for the Arroyo Grande Chevrolet, and then parcel two with the stem out to Short Street being the residential flag lot parcel. The staff advisory committee did review the project on October 1st. Members of the SAC made sense to kind of help reassemble an existing problem. With regard to environmental review, staff did review the project under CEQA, determined that it's categorically exempt per section 15305A of the CEQA guidelines regarding minor lot line adjustments. And although a public hearing is not required for this project, tonight's agenda and staff report were both posted at City Hall on and on the city's website on Friday, October 17th, and staff has not received any comments at this time. And with that, staff recommends
Lon, let's start at this time. Do you have any questions for staff?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay. Lon, do you have any questions?
Thank you. I had a discussion with Matt this afternoon about the one wooden barn that's on parcel two is zero setback, and he informed me that that was legal, but we might want to condition it for the side, the back side of it, to be fireproofed. Discussion I had with him was I was a little concerned about making the condition on lot one to have fire access, emergency fire access to that lot. I think that eventually there are going to be different owners, and to require that emergency access to this lot two, I think might cause a problem in selling that or maintaining. And if the fire truck wanted to get in there, they'd have to move 5 or 6, 10 cars to get back there anyway. So I think the solution that just if the fire department would go along with would be the fire access detail that's on Exhibit B, and hopefully that would alleviate breaking up that, putting a condition on that property one that would really hinder the development of it in the future. Override me, but I just, like I say, would hate to hinder the development of Lot 1 if there's another solution. And we've dealt with flag lots in the past and conditioned them to be fire safe, so this doesn't seem like a different situation to me. So I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say about it.
In condition number 16, the existing wood building on does that cover John's concern?
Yes, it does. And I reread that condition after Commissioner Keene and I had spoken. But condition of approval 16 does address that concern.
I don't have any questions for staff at this time either. So is the applicant here? Would they like to come up and be heard on this issue?
The applicant is out of town.
He's out of town. Okay. Then we'll bring it back then. I guess it's not a public hearing item. So
straightforward, the existing lot 3 is more than just a driveway. It's a little wide driveway, and the existing residence there looks like it's already cutting in past the lot line anyway, so combining that and making it one lot makes sense to me. So I can go forward with this.
I'm ready to move forward with this. I do share John's concern about the emergency access. Basically, you're putting some fairly major restrictions for future development on that lot by doing that. And if it does turn into still have to conform with this emergency easement. Now, the thing that I found interesting is on the plans, there shows to be the new 16-foot wide AC fire access driveway on parcel 2. Yeah. That does not suffice for what is needed?
It does, and the fire department's actually happy with it being access was put in by planning staff, by myself. We're always trying to get these emergency connections between properties. The recent parcel map on Ridgeview Way, we encouraged the applicant to seek that as well. They chose not to. So it was put in. It wasn't necessarily identified as being a specific place, a specific location, a specific width. Could easily just be something that if, fire department personnel or police want to walk on the property to access and help in an emergency in the back of parcel. Feels like it puts too much of a burden on parcel 1. It can easily be removed.
Okay, so there is no specification as to what emergency access is in terms of it doesn't have to be big enough for a fire truck or anything like that.
Correct, and that wasn't the intent.
It could be something as simple as a pathway along the edge of the property line.
Correct, and staff was leaving it up to the applicant, since he owns all the properties right now, to work that for what works best for himself as well as the car dealership. If he wanted to just make a blanket emergency draw in 5-10 feet, he could do that as well. Or if the commission again feels that it doesn't need to be in there, then we can remove it.
Personally, I think it's a good thing. I think that cleaning up these lots is an excellent idea for the future and for the present. I was surprised to see that part of the residence was on a whole separate lot, so obviously this needs to get cleaned up. As for the emergency access easement, since it I really don't have a problem with condition 15.
I'll go along with whatever the commission says.
Are you satisfied with the
estimation? Yeah, well, I personally think that this is, he's doing this to be able to sell the properties. So it's not like he's going to own that for a long time and they. And the fire access would be a problem for him. So, well, I think that's the reason of doing this, is So anyway, it doesn't matter. If that's what the fire department staff thinks we need, it's okay. I'm just trying to protect the development of that property.
Commissioner Keene, if I may, again, it was planning staff who added that condition in. The fire department didn't ask for it, and they not to say that they don't care about it being in, because obviously they'd always like to be able to get at everything everywhere, but again, it doesn't necessarily need to be in.
This issue until John brought it up this evening, and I could go either way on it. I mean, I think I agree that it would be nice to add it. I think I understand what planning was thinking, but on the other hand, we don't want to burden or restrict a future property owner. I do imagine, though, that if it was very burdensome, right, they could come back to us at that point and ask for an exemption or a change.
That's correct, yes.
So I think with that in mind, it makes sense maybe to add it to try to just improve the access as best as possible. So I'd be ready to move forward as is.
I'd like to move that we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving lot line adjustment number 14-001, 318 Short Street.
I second that. Roll call vote, please. Mr. Goss?
Yes.
Mr. George?
Yes.
Mr. King?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Spiro?
Yes. Okay, so that brings us to item 9C. Consideration of Planning Commissioner
historically funded some social services programs and projects from our community development block grant program, which has steadily been decreasing in the amount of funds we receive through the recipient program with San Luis Obispo County over the last several years. And this has made it difficult for us to administer these programs, small funding chunks to these social services agencies. To direct CDBG funding to our ADA barrier removal projects. These are much easier to administer for the city, and then use some of the other city money that was funding those barrier removal projects to fund the social services grant program. So they have established a budget and a process and some criteria with which to administer the program. For council direction, and your staff report includes recommended criteria that an organization must meet to apply for the funds. And the council also established a review panel, components of a review panel. And so we are asking one member of the Planning Commission, Traffic Commission, Parks and Recreation Commission, and the HRC Historical Resources Committee and Architectural Review Committees to each recommend one person and one alternate. This evening, that you select one primary member and one alternate member to serve on that committee this evening.
Sounds like a wonderful program. I'm wondering, will there be lots of publicity about this program? How will organizations know that it's available and that they can apply for it?
We're putting out releases, trying to get the information out to organizations that we know may fit the criteria, as well as those who have previously applied for the community development block grant program.
Thank I do understand that we do have one commissioner who has expressed. Interested in. Okay, then I nominate Commissioner Keene to serve as our representative on the grant panel. Do we need to have a roll call vote on this? Okay, so guys, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, well, thank you, John, for representing us. It sounds like a wonderful program, and I look forward to hearing about the the recipients.
We can get her,
an alternate as well. Okay, do we have, was that a volunteer to be the alternate, John or Tom?
No, actually, I have a conflict.
When the fund shifted, is the dollar amount the same, or did we lose money? Did we gain money for the social services?
The money is a little different each year that we had previously received through the Community Development Grant Program, but it's generally the same, right around 20,000 is what the budget is. And the grants will be increment approved for small increments, but not less than 250.
Thank you. Vote as well. So all those in favor of having that brings us to item number 10, notice of administrative decisions since October 7th, 2014. So if we have two items. We have item number one, temporary use permit 14-020, location 1026 East Grand Avenue, applicant Rabobank, Representative Michael Morrison of Rabobank. This relates to their annual Christmas tree display. Does anyone have any questions? Or follow up with staff regarding this item? No? Okay. East Grand Avenue, applicant Deepak Dancers, Representative Jana Clark. This relates to a nonprofit rummage sale. Does anyone have any questions or concerns? Okay. That moves us down to item number 11, commission communications. Do any of the commissioners wish to speak during this time? No? Okay, so that brings us to number 12, staff communications. Teresa, do you have any communications?
None this evening, thank you.
Okay, and that brings us to item number 13, adjournment.
So moved.
Okay, second. Okay. Thank you.